Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
Frank T. Biscuit.
We are back in studio and getting back into a regular schedule. I mean, three episodes, I think, already in 2017. That's not bad.
Everyone likes to be regular, especially old people. That's why they drink cranberry juice.
Old people do like to be regular.
Yes.
I like to be regular.
That's kind of disgusting, Frank. The world doesn't want to know that you're regular. The last half of 2016 was very busy, not to get in our personal lives, but Matt had job issues going on. I had things going on.
Yep.
Frank's just Frank. And
I was the only one regular.
The podcasting. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
The podcasting slowed down, but now we seem to be back on a good schedule. As if you listen to our feed, you know, we have this show, Remnants of the Rebellion. And if all goes well, you'll get one or the other show every week.
That's right.
You know, that's our plan for 2017. There might be some things happening, but that can't be avoided. But for the most part, that's the plan. So today, we're going to be talking about video games a little bit, Nintendo specifically, as they're getting ready to release the Nintendo Switch. And talk about Nintendo over the years, and we're going to talk about the Super Bowl trailers that have been out. But first, we've got to get into some small details of harassing each other here.
Yeah.
Mostly you fuckers, okay?
Because Mark doesn't like to be harassed.
First off, we always text each other about the show, and we've learned that Frank is a very emotional guy, okay?
Say I'm emotional. No. I'm half the time half asleep, they shoot out 50 text messages in like literally a minute.
Let me explain though. Okay, we're texting about the show and various other topics, and Matt was really bored at home, I suppose, because he was off
very
that day.
Very bored.
And apparently, we're getting lots of porn texts across.
Lots of porn texts.
And I mean, you know, I'm at work like over here. Oh, look at those kids. I'm trying not to believe I see it at work, but you know, I'm like, hey, this is free porn.
I wasn't complaining about the porn. Hold it was just Matt spammed us.
Hold up, so. So we're texting and all this porn's coming through, and then the next day Frank is like, "Yo, we'll spam me all this stuff," and Matt's like, "You know, I know how you're gay because you're complaining about porn."
Wait, gay people don't complain about porn.
We didn't say anything about gay people complaining about porn. It's just porn. Corn. And Matt just said it. He knows. And so then Frank got all quiet. And we know Frank. Frank, we love you like a brother. But we know that when Frank gets all huffy and puffy, doesn't he, Matt?
We can sense it.
So we think Frank is who's... I'm not going to say your age, but Frank's over 40. We'll say that. Is having a midlife crisis and wants to be a hipster. Frank is regretting the fact that he's not a millennial and not getting to be a hipster.
His hair is actually defying gravity.
He's getting
right
emotional.
Now.
He's starting to listen to his cassette tapes, you know, because MP3s are mainstream.
Yeah.
We've even heard that he's got his own show called The Filthy Frank that's very big in China.
Yes, it's very big in China.
We should make
They say he's a big American
man. We should make
a
fake 15-minute podcast called The Filthy Frank and see what Frank comes up with, just like a one-shot thing.
That's even be R-rated or X-rated for radio.
He's got the beard going. Matt has a good source that you bought some skinny jeans recently. So,
yes.
You know, if you want to see what Frank might look like as a hipster, go to our Instagram at Trust Me, okay. Jedi Official.
My fat ass would not fit into anything skinny.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people do it. I've seen people defy the
Mexican
laws of
guys.
Fashion.
Fat Mexican guys yes. Love to try and wear skinny jeans. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? You know?
Yeah, you can't squeeze into that, man.
You know, it's funny because where I work at, all the guys on the crew have one rule. No skinny jeans, period.
Except for Frank.
Do not show up to work in skinny jeans because we will dog you.
So, anybody has any hipster tips for Frank out there? We're not, if you're a hipster, cool, whatever. We appreciate that you listen to the show if you are a hipster, because we had headbangers in our era. We had, what was cool in your era? Nothing really. You lived through the Nickelback era. That shit sucked. Wasn't anything cool.
That's whenever I was, when I was in high school in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it sucked.
So it's, you know.
You know, I can't personally complain too much about the hipsters and the skinny jeans. I grew up in the, you know, you can't touch this era with the, you know, the jump pants and parachute pants and stuff.
Yep.
I
remember
pants falling down, which still hasn't gone away. I still see people walking holding their fucking pants up. I'm like
buy
is
a
that,
belt, man? And the right size pants. Buy some skinny jeans. And,
some skinny jeans.
So anybody has hipster tips for Frank on how to be a cool hipster in his 40s, please send them to our Facebook page or our Twitter at Trust Me I'm a Jedi.
And people listened to the last several shows. Apparently, you guys want me to be a hipster brony.
Apparently so.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Well, you know what y'all's dream is, for me to be a hipster brony.
That's okay. You probably fit right in with the bronies as a millennial hipster.
I think so.
And not to totally just pick on Frank. Matt.
Yes.
Okay, man. Right, you're texting us and all this stuff we're talking about, and and you text us. Now, guys, first off, Matt's married with two wonderful little boys.
Yep.
And he's moving into a house, so he's staying with the folks until the house gets ready, and which is fine. And so Matt's trying to get his freak on the other night, he tells us.
Yes.
And he has to stop because Dad woke up and might hear him.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're married. You have two kids. Your dad knows you fuck, man. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And it's like, who does this? Oh, babe, I got to put it away. You know, my dad might come in on us.
Well, that
sounds terrible. But
that was like the, okay, well, it was a little bit more, I had a little bit more of an excuse than that. Like, okay, so it was during the day. We knew my dad was going to get off early that day because there was some stuff he had to do. And the kids were downstairs. Luke was in his playpen and Jake was playing downstairs.
So you're doing it without even watching the kids.
Without watching the kids. That's why I had to get up. I thought he was, you know, he was downstairs.
Seriously, dude?
It's bad. It's like, he's going to be like, Matt. And I'm like, how am I supposed to do anything with that?
When I lived with my parents, my girlfriend would scream so loud, the people at Intercontinental Airport thought it was a siren going on. Well, grounded just, all the damn
God
planes.
Goddamn, man, were you fucking at B-12?
I come out of my room, my chest puffed out, go, yeah.
Yeah. But Matt, the thing is, you've told us these kind of stories before where you and Jackie have had to duck and run.
Yes, we have on, had dude. To duck and run. We've had to do it in the back of a car.
I think I just got
the
episode title, Duck and Run. Duck and Run Porn.
There was one time... I think there was one time where we were early married and went out to the woods one time. Like we used to.
You're married, you had to go to the woods to do it? What's wrong with the bedroom?
Because the woods are kind of fun.
Oh, wait, Dad and Mom were. Yeah. I don't really get, like, barking your ass
like
crack or something.
Yeah. Would join in. But I'm not, I don't know if we should say, but Matt was sending us a particular kind of themed porn. Like, so we knew what it was on his mind.
Oh, well, we won't get into those details.
Just yeah, but
people can use their imagination.
Yes.
So anyway, a little fun with you guys. Frank wants to be a hipster. Matt has a duck and run.
Yeah.
So when you finally get moved, hopefully the house is ready the next month or two, you know, are you going to still have to duck and run? You know,
I might have to.
Come over just interrupt.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, it's like, hopefully they'll knock because, you know, my...
Walk in, Matt's ass is up in the air, going to town.
My grandparents knew
it's
our
like,
garage
we got keys.
Code. Like, whenever I lived in that house, because for those who don't know, I bought my childhood home for my parents, and my grandparents, whenever I was young, used to just pop in all the time. You know, we gave them the code to the garage in case of emergencies, you know. But my grandpa would just pop in randomly, you know, like Ray Romano. Like everybody loves Raymond. They just pop in.
Like,
unannounced. Hi.
That's
like walking around the house naked because the kids are at school or something.
So let's hope not. You know, my parents didn't like that. Let's hope that they remembered that they didn't like that and do not do it to me.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's get into what we're talking about today. We'll do Download This in a Minute, which is, of course, a new segment we started a couple of shows ago. But Super Bowl trailers.
Yes.
You know, we got some movie trailers. A little bit lacking this year, I think.
Yeah.
And the big thing is that they spend $5 million to air these during the Super Bowl, and then they put them online a day before anyway.
I know.
So it's like, why spend $5 million? Remember the excitement back in 1996 when we got our first look at Independence Day?
Yes.
We had no idea what it was because it aired during the Super Bowl and says even the Super Bowl is not safe anymore or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh, Ghost in the Shell trailer's out 2 days early, Transformers trailer's out 2 days early.
Oh, I forget
Budweiser
what show.
Was out like a week early. The
I
Budweiser one.
Which daytime
There's
show
a Budweiser
was?
Budweiser movie
trailer. Sorry, just commercial.
Like it was one of the daytime shows. They like literally showed every commercial that was going to air during
well,
the
like,
Super Bowl.
Coca-Cola bought like 4 or 5 spots. Most of them had already aired before.
Yeah,
but I guess it saves the production. They just want to spend the money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, but I also have read that even though they say it's $5 million a commercial, I've heard for like the major sponsors like Bud Light and Coca-Cola that actually sponsor Super Bowl, I don't think they pay quite as much. I think they get so much time because they are sponsors of the Super Bowl. And
you would think
so. Maybe that's true, but yeah, it doesn't matter. Economics of it, whatever. It's not our fucking money, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But,
And plus, $5 million is a drop in the pan.
The only trailer that, even the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer just didn't, like, blow me away. The regular trailer is better. I was like, oh, it's cool. A little more Guardians footage. You know,
two Avengers were there at the Super Bowl. You see that?
Well, there are tons of celebrities around the Super Bowl.
Hawkeye and Captain America were there.
You know, honestly, the trailer I liked the most during the whole Super Bowl, as far as commercials and things we covered, was our first look at Stranger Things Season 2.
Yes.
It was short but brief, but it was like, then they showed Halloween. I'm like, oh, fuck, we got to wait till Halloween.
I know, that's what I was like. I was like, oh, my gosh, really?
You know?
I have that week off on vacation.
You know, they reveal, you know that. I mean, I don't know why people were saying, oh, Eleven's alive. They never said Eleven was dead.
Dude, you know Eleven is alive.
We just knew that she got captured at the end of season one
and
taken back. So, you know, it looks good. I was texting you guys, I have some caution about it because I had read that the Duffer Brothers originally planned this as just a one-time miniseries thing, and it was going to be about 10 episodes or so. And when Netflix read the scripts and they were coming in, Netflix realized, wow, this is really good, and they asked them to hold some stuff back. And it makes me wonder, did they hold enough for a full second season? Is it going to be as good? Because, you know, things suffer sometimes when something is only planned as a certain thing.
Yeah.
Is it going to be just stretched out or forced? I hope not, because I think season one's good enough. Hopefully these guys are that good, that season two's that good.
Right. But, I mean, haven't they learned from a lot of these movies? Never plan on just one and done. I mean, that's what they did with The Matrix. You know, they just did a one and done with it. And then they were like, oh, it's a hit, and now let's turn out two crappy ones.
I mean, it does happen, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, and we'll see if they've learned. I mean, John Wick 2 wasn't planned as a sequel, but the early reviews on it are very good. So, yes. You know, hopefully it looks like it's turned out.
Yeah, but at least they didn't, like, kill him off or, like, make it seem like he was killed off at the end.
And
what's awesome is that my wife loves John Wick. She thinks it's awesome.
Any of the movie trailers for y'all stood out besides the Logan trailer was cool. I'm getting more and more pumped for Logan. It looks really good.
I'm hyped for Transformers.
It's just been there, done that kind of thing before, though. You know,
it's.
I mean, I'll go see it. Don't get me wrong, but it's just
I'm a Transformers fan. Like, not all of them were great, but I enjoyed some of them.
And but it was it. We had Ghost in the Shell, Transformers, Logan, Guardians of the Galaxy, Stranger Things 2. Am I leaving any major movie trailers out? Movies that we don't necessarily cover on Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. .com. I forgot the .com. That's important.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that was about it.
The only thing we haven't mentioned is the... well, they did... They aired us the Twitch commercial.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saving the Nintendo Switch, not
sorry,
Twitch.
You said
Twitch. Nintendo Switch.
Twitch.
We're going to be talking about Nintendo here soon.
Soon. Coming soon. To you.
You're talking about like the only channel was Twitch.
Me and Frank talked a little bit on the 2000. No, you were here on the Pirates of the Caribbean trailer.
Yes.
That was a big one for Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
It revealed that Orlando Bloom's in it. You know, so Will Turner's character is back. Mm-hmm. You know, those movies are what they are. They're fun. See, you know, we'll see how it goes. The only ones of those I didn't like was the second one. I thought the second one was pretty... No, not the second one. The third one was pretty horrible.
It was.
And Johnny Depp even admitted after they made it that they really didn't have a script. They were making up as they went.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully this time...
A big company like Disney just make up crap as they go.
Well, remember Disney went through that little spill there for a couple of years, though, where they were having issues marketing some films. That wasn't a big hit. John Carter wasn't a big hit because...
I can't believe they should John have
left,
Carter wasn't
they
a
should,
big hit.
Well, they should have left Of Mars on the title. You know, so Disney.
I liked it. It was on the other day.
Disney went through a spiel with some live action stuff where they were struggling with things. So, you know, and so, you know, that's about it as far as trailers. Not a lot to say about Super Bowl. The Super Bowl itself was really good, you know, and it was here in our hometown, mm-hmm. you know, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Probably they're already saying it's one of the greatest Super Bowls ever.
Actually, they're saying it's the best Super Bowl ever.
The greatest Super Bowl ever, same thing as best Super Bowl.
Oh, you said one of.
Well, it's one of it's a matter of opinion. Because somebody, like, let's say you're a Steelers fan, and when you beat the Cardinals a few years ago at the last minute, Steelers fans might think that's the best Super Bowl ever.
Yeah. Well, when your team wins Super Bowl, it's always the greatest Super Bowl ever.
But Overall, I just felt people were complaining that they didn't have a Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer, but everyone knows it's either coming in one of two places. It's either going to be here in a few weeks in front of Beauty and the Beast in March, or they're going to save it for the Star Wars Celebration in April.
Speaking about Beauty and the Beast, have you seen the action figure that they had come out?
No.
It's like Belle looks like Weird Al Yankovic. They made Emma Watson look like Weird Al Yankovic.
I really don't go looking for B&B's action figures.
My mom
stores.
Showed it to me. Like a picture of it, and I'm like,
"It's okay, Matt. You went to buy it. It's
no,
fine."
No, no, no. I mean, I was hoping if I would buy it if it looked like Emma Watson. Honestly, to be honest,
to make porn out of.
Yeah, to make porn out of.
Yeah, he would have bought the Beast. I have and made him extra beastie.
No, no. I've got Goku at home. You know, it's time for Goku to experience other warrior women than Chi-Chi.
Wow, Chi-Chi's gonna kick your ass.
Yeah, I know she would. So you take Chi-Chi.
So when you were a child, did you take Luke and Leia and have them do it, even though they're brother and sister?
No, no, because that's non-canon. Isn't that non-canon now?
What about the Turtles in April? Because that would have been really weird.
That would be weird. Out.
Nah, I went straight with Master Splinter.
Master Splinter, he's the master.
Yeah, she wanted all that rat tail.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see if we can... All right, before we get into talking about the Nintendo Switch commercial that you mentioned, Nintendo, let's do our new segment that we created a couple of shows ago. It's called Download This.
Download This.
And where Download This is we tell you something we've been streaming, downloading, watching, listening to lately, and we usually all pick one. And so whoever wants to go first goes first.
Frank.
Me? Why do I gotta go first? I haven't really watched that much. Here lately, what was it? The last thing I watched was Dana Carvey's special, comedy special on Netflix.
Oh, you're boring already.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, it was during the whole election time, so he was like doing all his voices, the Donald Trump impersonations, and Dana it was Carvey's, pretty funny.
He's still relevant.
But if you're funny, you're relevant.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you watched or streamed anything, Matt, lately? Listened to anything?
Actually, I tried playing Mobile Strike the other day.
I'm surprised the Super Bowl commercials, the Schwarzenegger commercial, wasn't your favorite.
Yeah, I know, right? It was one of my favorite. And I haven't really gotten to play it much. You know, obviously it's, you know, working for, you know, a company that is highly affected by Super Bowl sales. It's like, you know, I just haven't had too much time to play it. But so far, setting up a base, it kind of reminds me of Command & Conquer. I don't know if you guys ever played Command & Conquer.
No, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. But...
Yeah. Actually, Mark owned Command and Conquer.
Red Alert Retaliation.
Game. I thought you did, and you let me burn a copy of it.
No, I've never owned that game.
I think there was one time it was on PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't know. I
thought he had the PC
PlayStation
version.
For me lately, as far as downloading, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, mostly. I haven't really watched anything lately, but I've been listening to our friends of the show, Justin Corbett and George Tripsis. Their new show, Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
Yeah.
Really funny, really good stuff. And, you know, if you want to check them out, I don't want to say it wrong, but I think it's mindfudge.com is the website, and you can find them on iTunes. And I've been listening to their show. I've also, another friend of mine, Craig Price, his new show, Matinee Heroes. Really excellent show where they look at heroes in cinema. Speaking of John Wick, their episode that's coming up this week is going to be John Wick. They cover all genre of films. They just started. They only got about 5 or 6 episodes. They've done The Incredibles. They've done Outlaw Josie Wells. Hardboiled, which is one of my all-time favorite action films. Mm-hmm. And they did To Kill a Mockingbird, which is a drama.
Weird.
It showed Gregory Peck's character of Atticus Finch as a hero. So all kinds of topics really well thought out, a really good show if you're really into cinema and looking at heroes a different way. And one show that I've listened to lately, going back to Justin Corbett of Mind Fudge, Justin convinced me to listen to the show by posting on his Facebook, and that's Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Yeah.
Hilarious fucking show. It's about this guy who fell through a portal through the Burger King, and he happens to have his podcasting equipment with him and a weak Wi-Fi signal, so he broadcasts from the land of Foon. Just bizarre, over the top. It sounds ridiculous because it is ridiculous, to quote Justin on his Facebook post. And it's just, you have to really let it play out. It takes a few episodes to really appreciate it. And it's just, they're all in character. It's really funny. It's vulgar. I mean, there's swords having sex in it. I mean, it's swords have sex in it. There's a flower pot that gets drunk and talks vulgar. It's that ridiculous and that funny. There's a wizard in it that every episode his name is like 40 seconds long. You think it gets old, but he has to say his whole name every episode. It becomes a running joke. And I highly recommend this show for anyone just wants something to laugh at and make their day feel a little bit better, because the nice thing is episodes are only 20 to 30 minutes long, so it doesn't take a long time to listen to an episode.
Yeah,
you know, you can do it on, somebody didn't put their phone on silent while recording.
Well, somebody's wife should have known they were recording and not to be texting.
You know, and so, you know, it's just a show that's really funny, and if you want something you can listen to on your drive home every day, it's How to Hello from the Magic Cavern. I think it's magiccavern.com, I believe, is the website. Really funny show. And that's what I've been listening to lately. Just a lot of podcasts and my friend shows and some new stuff. And because I'm out working in the afternoons after my regular job, my part-time job, and I get time to listen to podcasts while I'm working. And so it's kind of nice. So we talked about Super Bowl commercials. And obviously, Nintendo had their first ever commercial during Super Bowl as they're launching the Nintendo Switch on March the 3rd here in a few weeks. And you already can't get the fucking thing. The pre-orders have been cut off everywhere because Nintendo openly said they were only sending out, what, 200,000? I think. Very small number. But they're promising more by summer. And Nintendo, we're not going to get into Nintendo bashing in this because I know it's a love-hate relationship with Nintendo and their new gimmickier systems they put out since the Wii. But we're going to look back more at Nintendo history instead, because for all of us, Nintendo was the system that turned us on to video games. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, Atari for me, but Nintendo got me hardcore into gaming.
That's what I'm saying. Well, you and I had Ataris, but the Atari was not exactly the same. Nintendo is what really got people
Nintendo
into
made
video
you go,
games.
Holy crap!
You know,
stuff can look like this.
Nintendo, a lot of people don't know, as a company, is over 120 years old. They were actually formed in late 1800s as a card playing company that would develop cards and stuff for, back then in Japan and things like that. And it's changed over the years in several different conglomerates. And in the late 70s, in the 50s and 60s, they made toys and games. And in the late 70s, they became a video game developing company. And going into the 80s when they developed their first system. And so a lot of people aren't even aware of that. Now, the modern Nintendo, as we know it, I think, started in the 70s. But Nintendo as a company has been around a long time and has just changed hands over the years.
I didn't realize
before
that.
Before they switched over to video game development.
And, of course, the Nintendo Entertainment System came out back in, I believe it was in 1985.
I
have it on my phone here somewhere. And it was the system that evolutionized home gaming. Because, the Atari was cool and all, but it only did so much. It had blip graphics with the little battle tanks going back and forth.
They tried with the Atari 2600, and then wasn't there
another
one?
We used to have so many games. I remember my uncle and my dad would be playing Tecmo Bowl, Super Tecmo Bowl.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Super Tecmo Bowl is Super Nintendo. There you go again, Matt.
Sorry, Tecmo Bowl.
Twice today you've jumped in things. And Nintendo came out, and it was the first system that had complete colorful 8-bit graphics with characters that moved through mazes and side-scrolled and could jump and everything that... I mean, I think the only game I remember on the Atari that jumped was Pitfall. And the jumping was, terrible. How many times did you land in the freaking molt or in the alligator's mouth and he chomped you? So the Nintendo actually did all these things and it worked. It had shooting games like Duck Hunt. And Duck and Run, Matt. in Matt's case.
In my case.
And it had gimmicks. It was the first console with gimmicks.
Well, later on, he came out with the Power Glove and things like
that.
Which
robot, was horrible. That little robot that picked up stuff and you had the game for.
I didn't remember that. I remember the Power Glove.
Yeah, you had the Power Glove and this little robot.
Well, the Power Glove. Remember, they even had a movie with Fred Savage, the Wizard, just to introduce the Power Glove. And the first look at Super Mario Brothers 3 was in that movie too.
Yeah,
And he's sitting there doing the Power Glove, and I never bought one, but I played with a Power Glove, and it didn't work worth a fuck.
By the time it came out, my hands were too big to even go in the Power Glove.
So what are your early memories of the Nintendo? Sitting at home, what do you remember from it?
Sitting at home, at first, it's like I wasn't really allowed to play it because I was too little. But eventually I got to play Gunsmoke, which is one of my favorite games on Nintendo.
Yes, and, mine too.
And then, me and my cousin used to play, the arcade, version of, Ninja Turtles arcade.
Right.
So the second video game that came out for NES, and that was, we'd play that all day, every day, all the time. And, those are probably my two favorite games on the console. Well, that's what I remember.
Well,
I don't know,
the only reason it was called Ninja Turtles 2 was because there was a Ninja Turtles 1 out already, and it was like an up scroller kind of. I remember through mazes and stuff with the turtles. It was really bad.
Yeah,
and so they called Turtles 2 the arcade game because they ported the very famous arcade game over to Nintendo, and that's one of my top favorite games too.
Yeah,
well, mine would have to be Contra.
Oh yeah,
Gunsmoke would be next. I liked Rygar. The one thing I always had a problem with the Nintendo system was there was no memory save.
Yeah.
They eventually came out with codes and stuff like the Game Genie and everything else.
For, like, Samus playing.
Right. Yeah. But I remember playing, like, Rygar, which isn't a really long game, but when you didn't know what you were doing, it became a really long game. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to pause it, and then we'd turn off the TV, go about, play, come back, and unpause it. I had a friend who was the only person I knew that could sit there and play Mario from the beginning to the end with one life.
Wow.
You know, but
I can play Contra with one life.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, select, start.
No, I mean without dying. But the one memory I will always remember is playing, I was like dominating everybody, and I mean like everybody in Tecmo Bowl.
What kind of Nintendo were you playing? Dominating?
No, like when it came to Tecmo Bowl, I was like dominating everybody. And then here comes my little nephew. He wants to play me. So I let him play, and he wants to be the Raiders because he had Bo Jackson, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So he's playing me. He's about to win. Like literally there's a minute left or less, and he's up by 2 touchdowns.
Oh, my God.
I pause it, tell him I have to go do something. I sneak my ass outside, turn the power off to the house. Oh. There was a power surge.
Frank was getting beat.
So therefore, it didn't end. It didn't count.
That's awesome.
Oh, Frank got beat by his nephew.
What team did you use to go against the Raiders?
Honestly, I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I just remember that
did
he
you pick
wanted...
the Oilers?
I, honestly, I do not remember. I think I'm...
I could beat Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Back
you
in
know.
The day.
Yeah.
But... Yeah. He wanted, but like literally, that's all you had to do was just drop back, pass the ball. He would never drop the ball. Nobody would ever block it.
Which there's
a
myth.
He caught every ball.
It's funny because there's a myth on that game about that. Like it is true, and not really a myth. It is true that Bo did that. But you could do that literally. You could pick Joe Montana on that game in the Niners or Warren Moon, and you could drop back and you throw deep to Haywood Jeffries or Jerry Rice on the Niners, and they would. You got four downs, right? One of the four downs, they will catch in the end zone. So it worked either way. Yeah. All you do is throw deep one of the four plays. You're going to get a touchdown.
Yep.
You know, because interceptions never worked in that game, ever.
Never.
You know? Usually the ball just went in, went bleep, 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 out of the bounds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Tecmo Bowl is one of mine, too. And I also remember a lot of blowing into games.
Yeah.
This blowing is the only the time games. I really? What game were you playing?
Blowing anything.
Was no,
blowing
like the cartridge.
Yeah, oh, that was, I figured that was one of those non-licensed
clicking the game up and down because you get the blinking red light.
Still got to do that.
Yeah.
Hitting reset. Reset, maybe if I hit reset.
Oh, you had to place it just right in there, like two little past the lip, little right on the lip, or squeeze it down on the lip.
Yep.
Just like all at a time.
The 32-pin connector.
Pixels all over the place or just a blinking screen.
I was also a big baseball guy, so I remember Bases Loaded was like the first realistic-looking baseball game with just stupid character names like Cassidy Hatchinegg or something, you know? Just really dumb names made up for these characters.
And Mark played it for hours.
Yeah,
hours.
I did. I played like Bases Loaded for
nowadays.
A long time. The Mario, of course, not, neither one of you, excuse me, mentioned Mario or Zelda.
Those are just obvious.
You know,
we figured those are good.
I spent hours playing Mario. I was
it came with the system, so it was just a given.
Yeah.
It's your first game.
I remember being a kid though, like the first Zelda I played the shit out of, right? Mm-hmm. I think I beat everything. I didn't like Zelda 2, even
Adventures
though nowadays people say it's the better game because I didn't like the side scroller. I liked the one where I was like doing the mazes. I'm like, well, I don't like this version where I'm just going sideways the whole game. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, you know? And was there a Zelda 3 on Nintendo? I think it was before we went to Super Nintendo.
It was something else. I think it was Zelda something else.
Zelda until Super
maybe.
Nintendo came out.
I think you're right there. I think there was only two. Because I have Adventures of Link.
Yeah.
And I think that was the only other one.
I remember there were some Star Wars games on the Nintendo. Remember there was wasn't there an old X-Men game? Yeah.
Yes.
It was similar to the Ninja Turtle game where it was up scroller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was similar to the first Ninja Turtle game.
Yeah.
And you could pick two characters. I would always pick like Cyclops and I would pick Cyclops and I would pick Iceman or Storm because
somebody could shoot.
They could shoot all the time.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, the hand-to-hand combat people, like Wolverine and Colossus, they always
take two hits and die.
Hit. Yeah. As you're hitting somebody, you're getting hit back at the same time, and you just die. And then you get to pick more people. So it's like eventually I would get kind of far, and then I'd die with my shooters, and then I couldn't get any farther because all I had was hand-to-hand combat guys.
Yeah, a lot of the
you're in the
games
danger room.
A lot of the games back then were like... You're like, I paid for this game. I want to play it all the way to the end, but they were like limited to 3 characters and 3 restarts.
Yep.
So technically, only you got 9 lives for the entire game. And Data Easton was the baddest one about their games. I mean, like, they were cranked up to the hard level that you would get at the arcade, mm-hmm. and you would only get 9 lives. I mean, you could not beat a Data Easton game unless you were super badass Data or you
East.
Had a game.
It was just
Data
East.
East, whatever. Data East, yeah. Sorry, my bad. Data East, or you had the Game Genie.
Yep, the Game Genie.
Was like the only way you could beat those games.
Frank took that video game feeling fucking seriously. Like, these motherfuckers only give me 9 lives. Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them in their ass.
When you're playing 2 crew dudes or 2 bad dudes.
Bad dudes.
And then you're playing RoboCop.
Oh, yeah, RoboCop.
And that damn big giant robot comes out and goes, bah, 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 and you're dead. And then the next, you pop up again and he shoots you again and you're dead.
I think you just need to get better.
Motherfucker. You get pissed off after a while.
Yeah, dude.
And then you just take the damn game out, toss it aside, and fucking put in Mario. And do the little jump thing and get the 99 lives or whatever.
This is the safe game over here. I'm calm now. I'm going to play this because yes. I'm not going
to... I'm going to play Mario.
And
something is soothing about the...
I also played the shit out of Contra with my brother a lot. Putting the lives code, you know, of course, playing it for hours on end.
It was fun, but it used to piss me off playing with other people.
You would memorize all the jumps, where all the weapons were, everything about it.
Yep.
You might fight from time to time. I wanted that weapon. Oh, well, I got it first, bitch.
Spread shot. That was the best one.
I think that's why I love Broforce so much, because it reminds me of Contra, man. Just all-out mayhem playing that. I was playing Broforce again the other day with Michael, and it's just, the game is so much fun.
I haven't renewed my subscription, so I can't play Broforce right now.
Damn.
So... Any other Nintendo memories before we move on to Super Nintendo? Ninja Gaiden. That's one I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little story. Yeah,
Another one of those damn-ass hard games that you couldn't be without the Game Genie.
I remember Ninja Gaiden.
Castlevania, you can maybe get there.
I can only get past the first level of Ninja Gaiden. I can never get any further. It's like, after that, it was impossible. You know,
and then you died and you had to start all over again. I hated those games.
Was Shinobi on Nintendo? The Shinobi game?
Shinobi is a Sega game.
I thought that was
PlayStation.
I think it was Genesis. I think they ported it to PlayStation Sega came out their Dreamcast. I think they made a version of PlayStation.
I have a recent, like last year, it took me 30-something odd years, but I finally beat Rygar.
30
years. Thanks to the help of the internet.
I accomplished my life goal. I defeated this game from when I was nine years old.
I had my phone, and I was like looking up, okay, I got to go here, got to go there, got to do this, got to do that. Get to the end. I beat it. I'm like,
wait.
Yes, 30 years accomplishment finally happened.
You needed a walkthrough on a Nintendo game?
Yep. Yes.
Walkthrough.
Fucking sad. He's a hipster for sure.
Hey. Better yet, the reason why I love Nintendo is people don't understand that I missed a lot of education growing up, so I was behind on reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I was behind like a lot of my classmates and people, kids my age. Thanks to Nintendo and Nintendo Power Magazine, I taught myself how to read. Because I wanted to be able to play the games and beat them.
Is this a commercial?
I'm talking about an infomercial.
Yeah.
You can read, too, by reading Nintendo Power Magazine.
That was my version of Hooked on Phonics.
Yeah.
So, in 1991, Nintendo comes out with a new system. People forget now, we didn't have PlayStation and Xbox.
Nope.
We had...
The Genesis.
Genesis was about the same time as this.
Nintendo.
It was Super Nintendo, wasn't it?
No, it was Nintendo.
Was it Nintendo at the same time? We're talking about Nintendo. Fuck, who cares about Genesis right now? And Super Nintendo came out in 91, and it's completely re-revolutionized things again.
Stepped it up to
16-bit graphics.
It doubled its graphics.
Yes.
You know, I will never forget the Super Star Wars games. So much fun to play.
Oh, those are my cousin's favorite ones.
You know, I got Ken Griffey Jr. and All-Star Baseball. Baseball looked more realistic that I love to play. Zelda in 3D graphics along with Super Mario World. Not total 3D like we know now, but just looked more alive. Super Mario World was a colorful, vast, open game more than where you had different levels and different side quests. Side quests was a new thing that showed up on Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably forgetting things off the top of my head. Tecmo Super Bowl. We took Tecmo Bowl. We went even greater. And we, you know what? We just went through talking about fucking Nintendo and didn't even mention Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, we didn't mention
it. I know I spent hours playing that game. hours, and you learn all the different idiosyncrasies, like how to punch certain characters and knock them out. And
the timing.
Yeah, the timing, their different moves.
Yeah.
So, Super Nintendo, go, guys. What do y'all have to say about it?
Oh, dude, Street Fighter Turbo.
Oh, and yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
That was
Mortal
Kombat. They took them from the arcades and put them into our homes.
Yes.
Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct.
Everyone forgets about Killer Instinct.
I loved Killer Instinct. And I couldn't wait till that came out to the console. And it was actually pretty decent compared to, from the arcade version to the actual console version. It was actually pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I'd sit there and play, a lot with my nephew. We would just sit there and try to see how many combos that we could go in a chain playing that game. Also, the Zelda. That was, my Zelda. Favorite Zelda.
Yeah.
Up to that point. For the longest time. Was Zelda.
I can't remember the name of that one, but I know.
And one of my uncles, my mom's brother, the older out of her two brothers, he played it even. So when he would swing by, visit, and we would sit there and talk Zelda. Hey, where are you at? Did you find this? Did you go there? We would just go back and forth on that. So that was pretty fun.
Mega Man X.
Yeah, I was never into the Mega Man.
I never was a big Mega Man guy either.
I love Mega Man.
Yeah.
I mean, we had at the daycare that I played with, that's one of the games that was there at the daycare.
Right.
So it's I played.
I'm suddenly feeling really old. I'm in high school playing Super Nintendo. He's in daycare.
Yeah. F-Zero. Remember F-Zero?
Yes, F-Zero.
That was a fun racing game back before Mario Kart.
Mario Kart was funny as
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart first appeared on Super Nintendo, but no one played it. Mario Kart got bigger on the Nintendo 64.
Yes.
And that's why Super Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo now is hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those cartridges worth money because it came out towards the end of the Super Nintendo run, and Mario Kart on 64 blew up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember F-Zero, though.
Yeah. Then you had Super Punch-Out.
Yeah.
Super Punch-Out.
Yeah. Everything was super.
Everything was super. Everything had to have the word super in front of it. I think it did.
I wonder why.
Super. Like that, Frank?
Yeah.
Super.
That's a so super.
What else was super on the Super Nintendo? Oh,
everything, apparently.
Everyone wants to dog that Batman didn't have a good game until Arkham Asylum on the Xbox. It's not true. The Adventures of Batman and Robin, based on the anime series, was an excellent Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
It was a side scroller that captured the feel of Batman the Animated Series. He went through different levels, and I remember it had title cards like the animated series did and everything. And this also gives me a precursor to tell y'all that I might have it up by Friday, but definitely next week we begin coverage of 25 years of Batman the Animated Series on TrustMeAmAJedi.com. So yes. the first article is coming in the next couple of days, and we will be podcasting later in the year on Batman the Animated Series as it gets closer to the actual anniversary in September. But that was a great game. Any other Super Nintendo games? I know there's some forgetting.
No, I'm not trying to jump consoles here. But did either one of y'all have the cartridge where you could plug in your Game Boy cartridge and play on your Super Nintendo?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I did. I think I had it. I still have my original Game Boy with the box and everything.
Super Metroid.
Super Metroid was a big one.
Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong Country
was huge.
Which was, and not only that, but graphically for a 16-bit game, it looked better than 16-bits.
And Contra's third
Super Contra, output. Which was okay. It was.
Didn't have the feel of the
first
one.
Didn't have the feel of the original. It didn't have that feel.
We had another Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah.
And we finally see Final Fantasy come out.
Yeah, I remember that. But Final Fantasy didn't seem as big yet. But yeah, I'm sure there had its players back then.
Final Fantasy didn't get big until it switched over to a different console. PlayStation game
when Final Fantasy VII came out, which, that remake, I have to say, looks pretty badass.
Did you guys ever play NBA Jam?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I remember the
spin hours playing NBA Jam.
Yeah, that on my phone.
Ball lighting on fire.
Yes!
Yeah.
Big heads and stuff. Michael Jordan. Keem Olajuwon. All those greats back in the day.
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kirby. I forget about Kirby.
I wasn't ever a Kirby guy.
It was okay for me, but I played it.
He was in daycare at the time. So,
Yeah. He liked the kiddie games.
Matt's over here reading a game.
Earthworm Jim. I completely forgot about Earthworm
Jim. I remember that in Star Fox.
Yeah, Star Fox.
If my cousin Travis was here, he was a big Star Fox guy.
Other than the Star Wars ones, I was talking to my cousin John about this segment that we were going to do. And he mentioned that, the Star Wars games were, his favorite. The Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, Super Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He said his favorite. I asked him, so what was your favorite character? And he said Star Fox and then Donkey Kong for the Nintendo systems were, his favorite characters.
That's what I can remember of Super Nintendo. While Matt's pulling up his list, because we're going to... The Nintendo 64 is the next system that came out for the Super Nintendo. And again, Nintendo revolutionizes things.
Yep.
3D polygon characters. A Mario that you could completely go around with the fucked up camera angles on Mario 64. Yeah. A Zelda for Arcania of Time, which was completely 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing system. The Nintendo 64, I think, still holds up fairly well. Turok, the Dinosaur Hunter.
Yes. 007 GoldenEye.
GoldenEye. Shadows. Yeah,
the first-person shooter became popular.
Shadows of the Empire for Star Wars.
Oh, yes.
In some ways, I think I have more memories of this system because it's newer, I think, so I can remember it more.
Smash Brothers. I was playing that. We talked about Smash Brothers. Yeah, yeah.
And it came out...
Actually, I played it a couple, like, around the holidays with my wife's nephew.
I know everyone had that one character,
and I was
where you could
kept
like
falling off the edge. So I sucked.
I know you could set it to where you could fight computers at like max power, and everyone had that one character where they were just a boss with. For me, it was Link. I used to just hang up in the air and throw bombs down, and I could just do that dodge, throw bombs.
Oh, so basically, you're like Ryu just. Yes. Hadouken all the time.
I don't remember owning as many games for the system simply because it came out in 96, so I'm in college at the time, and mom and dad stopped buying games for me. So if I wanted them, I had to buy them myself at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I remember only owning like maybe 5 or 6 games. I remember owning Turok. I owned a copy of All-Star Baseball. Yeah, I had Mario. Mm-hmm. I had Shadows of the Empire.
Got that one. That was my first one.
I had Indiana Jones and the Infernal Machine, which you could only get off of LucasArts.com. They didn't sell it in stores.
Oh, wow.
Because it was towards the end of the Nintendo 64, so sales were declining, so it was like an online exclusive game they decided not to release in the stores.
Okay.
And I maybe had a couple others, so I don't have as many games, but I remember playing a lot of it. Mario Kart, I remember playing that a lot, and... That's what I remember. Than just those few select games, but really good games.
And four controllers. This is one of the first games
multiple player console.
Right.
I mean, it sucked because at the time, I don't think everyone had those really big TVs. So when you play GoldenEye and the screen split into four,
yes,
it was so hard. Everyone's like really close. And they're like, you're looking at where I'm at. No, you're looking at where I'm at.
That's why I didn't like playing that one on the same screen with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because you could, like, use their reference and then right up on them.
Imagine if everyone's playing Call of Duty looking at the same screen.
Right.
Yeah. This would work.
Snipers wouldn't be snipers anymore.
Like, oh, he's about to snipe me, stop! Yeah, but no, like, Shadows of the Empire, that was, like, the first game I got for that. Did y'all ever get the little booster pack that would plug into the 64?
I don't think so.
There was a little booster pack that apparently boosted that smoothed out the graphics.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know, I actually bought that... I wound up giving my 64 to my ex-girlfriend when she went off to college.
This isn't the same one that screamed, was it?
Oh, yeah. That's the one that shut down Intercontinental Airport and everything. She went off to college, and I let her take it with her. Then we broke up, and...
You never got it back?
Nah, I was kind of a dick.
Well, and around the time, part of the reason the Nintendo 64, it had a very strong life, but it seemed to decline quicker, and that was because Sony came out with the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So in 2001, Nintendo decides, hey, we got to release a disc system. You know, PlayStation's hot, it's big. Dreamcast comes out, it's pretty popular too. So they released the GameCube.
Yep.
And it's a little tiny three-inch disc, so smaller than CDs. But again, a system I didn't own a lot of games for, but it was a decent system.
And the last Nintendo system I bought.
It was, I remember the Rogue, it had a sequel to Rogue, we forgot about Rogue Squadron in the Nintendo 64.
Rogue Squadron, yes.
And this had the Rogue Squadron sequel where you got to play classic battles from the movies in it. And it was like the first, I have to say Rogue Squadron, as much as I like Shadows of the Empire, Rogue Squadron was the first game that made me feel like I was in Star Wars in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I tried playing that like not too long ago. That was a pain in the ass.
It's hard. Yeah. Because, you know, the Wii will play GameCube games, and we have a Wii upstairs. And I had you forgot to bring that controller.
I did.
And the Wii, it's hard to play that now because I kept my copy of Rogue Squadron. I had the Resident Evil remake on my Wii.
I have a Zero as well.
On my GameCube. And that's about it from the GameCube. Remember, I never got Mario Sunshine. I never bought it. I know it was probably popular.
No, you know what I loved on that console was Luigi's Mansion. That was fun.
I played that at someone's house.
That is fun to play.
We got Mario Kart on the GameCube. I remember also.
Yeah, I think we did a Mario Kart.
People don't remember that they started re-releasing the Resident Evil games.
Yeah,
and Resident Evil 1 looks so much better.
I had like two of them on that console.
Oh, yeah. Resident Evil 2 is by far my favorite one. I think it has the best storyline. I think it has the best character development. And, you know, it was still fresh. And so the scaring, the zombies and stuff popping out in front of you was, you know, still fresh. And it was really cool to see that with up-tuned graphics. And Resident Evil 1 and 2 was definitely my favorite. Injustice, the way the movies were done. But the games are awesome. Right.
Well, the movies are the movies. Yeah. The games are the games.
And from there, we've kind of moved into modern Nintendo. The Wii, of course, was another system that maybe not popular, but it revolutionized things with the controller that you had to move and play with. And we owned one for a little while, and I traded in. I since got another one that someone gave me for free. It's a good system to have for the kids.
Yeah.
The side-scrolling Mario game on it was a hell of a lot of fun because you could sit there and hold the controller normal and play. Yeah.
Actually, my favorite game on there was Wii Bowling.
And, that came with it. It was part of the Wii Sports package.
But it's like sometimes, like, I'd be going to go hit something, and there's, like, a piece of furniture, like, in front of your arm.
Right.
I'd be like these people that threw, like, you always see, like, you hear about throw their controller at their TV because they didn't put the strap on.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, what was that? Strap? What?
The strap on?
The strap that was on the wiener-looking thing that you swung around. He's thinking
about making his duck and run porn. So, you know, the Wii had some, it's fans, and now they've had the Wii U, which I've never played a Wii U. I've heard it is a lot better, but mm-hmm. I think the problem with the Wii U is it's geared towards those people that really like Nintendo, and most of us, because of our disappointment in the Wii, have done moved on, and we've gone to Xbox and PlayStation, and I have a 360, a PlayStation 4, and a PlayStation 3. There's just not
really a lot of adult-type games right.
I think Nintendo did not grow up with their gamers.
Yeah.
Like me and Frank and you, Matt, we're all getting older, and we don't mind every now and then having fun playing Mario, but we want to be able to play our Call of Duties, our Uncharted's, our games that more adult for us. We want to be able to play those.
Yeah.
And Nintendo hasn't embraced that. Yeah, they've ported some games over, you know, Resident Evil and things like that, but they still focus on
kiddie
Mario
games.
And Zelda and Kirby and those things. And they never
really tapped into the online multiplayer.
And that's fine, but I think they found a market. And from what I know about the Nintendo Switch, that it comes with that little thing that you can carry with you, because Nintendo has done a hell of a job with mobile gaming.
Yeah.
The Nintendo DS.
That's what's kept them alive.
The Nintendo DS has been extremely popular, thanks largely in part to Pokemon and children that can play those games and they're easier for them to play. And the Nintendo Switch seems to give that both to people. You can put it into that little thing and play the game on your console. And then you can put the game in your hands and walk around with it. And I haven't looked at it. Is it a disc system?
I don't know.
Something
I heard something it looks so that it small, is a disc system.
Or it's a small cartridges with built-in disc. Who knows?
Yeah.
And it comes out March 3rd. And the price point is interesting. It's only $300, which I think will help it sell well. I think Nintendo's doing a smart thing on that. Because, you know, PlayStation and Xbox, when they release a new system, they're always $600. Yeah, I waited and bought my PlayStation 4 when it went down to $300. I know you paid around the same. And I just can't justify spending $600 for a system.
Especially
waited.
Now that they're both companies, the other two companies are announcing new
that's
ones.
That's what the cartridge is going to look
so
like.
So they're SD cards.
They look like Switch little, cartridges. They almost look like little SD cards.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little bit bigger. They're comparing them to about the size of the Nintendo DS.
Okay.
So
great, they're something for your little ones to lose.
I know, they're going to eat.
And the carpet, or in between the couch.
So, the price point is good for Nintendo at $300. I'm not going to go out and buy one, because one, I don't have $300, and two, I just don't want one.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good price point. I think it'll be, with Sony and Xbox not really having new systems out this year, I mean, I know Sony has their little upgraded version of the PlayStation.
And what, next year's of the other companies?
The Nintendo Switch could be a big seller this holiday season. It really could, because of the price point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you still can't find the Nintendo Classic they put out. Even now, 6 months later after it's been out, you can't find that fucking thing anywhere.
Nowhere.
And I've heard it shows up on Amazon, but it's gone within an hour of it showing up. You know, they get copies in. And that I'd like to have. But you know they already have a hack for it?
Really?
Yeah, you can already hack it to add more games.
You know, how is that possible?
Yeah, I actually read that. You know, because it comes with, what, like 40 games or something? And you can already hack and add more. You know, it doesn't surprise me. Hackers are always going to hack. You know, just like Duck and Runner's always good and Duck and Run.
Yeah.
That joke went nowhere that time. I was just because
Matt's preoccupied.
He's on his phone.
I'm trying to see what my uncle sent me. I was like, my uncle never sends me anything. And I'm like,
it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Other than that, any other lasting memories of Nintendo? I mean, for me, Nintendo is what bonded me with a lot of people, both from my brother Frank, I met Frank playing video games, you know, essentially whenever I worked with his cousin.
Yeah.
And it still bonds people today. My son, your son, Matt, you know, I know Jake likes to play with you. And I think that's the big thing about Nintendo is Nintendo brought families and friends together. And whether we moved on to our Sony systems or our Microsoft systems, we will always have Nintendo's the Stan Lee of video games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Bringing generations together.
Yeah. And I think that's what they've been trying to do with all their consoles. And I guess that's why they headed in a different direction than the ones. Because a lot of times you think about it, a Sony player, an Xbox player,
mm-hmm.
they're kind of lone players. Because they're just on the internet, playing against other people. When I say they're alone, but they're alone in the room.
You don't
by
like
themselves.
To play Call of Duty? You get called a cocksucker by a 12-year-old?
I was called a gay black Jew, and then I adopted the name.
You're definitely not black or Jew. You're gay. I don't know. We both say it.
But we were playing. Literally, we were playing Call of Duty. I kid you not. And all I heard was, "You're gay. You're the N-word, or you're a Jew." Okay, so I figured everybody was.
You're like, one I'm good at yeah. accounting.
So literally, I created you could get a temporary account on Xbox, and I literally created Gay Black Jew. And then I would literally run around just stabbing people, going, "You got killed by a gay black Jew."
Wow. What? And you were older when you did this, right?
Yes, yes, yes. It was like Call of Duty 2, Modern Warfare 2.
Wow.
So, oh, man. Oh,
it was Frank. Ridiculous the amount of racism and everything that goes on multi-line play. That's probably one of the reasons why I quit playing online games.
The 12-year-olds like know that. What's up, you know?
Yeah, man.
I think this is like 8-year-olds.
Oh, man, Michael's talking like that. I'm going to whoop his little ass.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, man. So see, that's how Nintendo brings people together. They call them gay black Jews.
Yes.
Yeah. And, man, that's all I've got as far as Nintendo. Any last thoughts on Nintendo? Tell us your Nintendo memories. Leave a comment on our Facebook or whatever, and go to TrustMeOnTheJedi.com. That's where you find all our shows, all the latest news updates. Our Facebook, Twitter accounts are all there. You can they're linked to them. And do us a favor if you can, go to our iTunes account or Google Play, since we're now on Google Play. The links are up there on TrustMeOnTheJedi.com, right there on the front page. And leave us a quick 5-star review. It really helps. We really appreciate it. 5-star. We've actually gotten a few new reviews.
Super 5-star.
We've gotten a few new reviews lately. My friend Ronnie, he left me a review. A couple other people have left us some. Justin from Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast left us a review. We appreciate that. And, it helps us out a lot. It helps us get into search engines and things like that. So please leave us that 5-star review on Google Play and iTunes if you can. And as always, thank you for listening. And TrustMeOnTheJedi.com. Don't forget, put it into your brain so you remember where to find the Rebel Radio Podcast and Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast, which is the other show we have on our network. And
wait, where did we find this again?
TrustMeOnTheJedi.com.
Com,
Matt, for your porn. .com.
Oh, okay. Com.
Com. Calm down, Matt. calm down.
Now we're going to get spammed with porn later when Matt goes home after we're done
probably.
Recording. Like, I'm going to send those guys more porn all day long, and then just don't have. And then later tonight, then we'll get a story tomorrow. Hey, man, guys, I had to duck and run again. Dad woke up and I had a boner. And yeah. I told Jackie, I was like, no, I can't do it.
You just made me sound like I was from Wisconsin. Had a boner. A boner. Yeah.
Well, what was it the other day? You were all like, I'm going to get some, but I've been drinking. And I just figured, and you'll pass out, and all your wife had to do is just like rub some tuna juice on it.
Tuna juice. Did you see his wife stink like fish down there, man?
So for any of you ladies that want to get out of sex, just get your man drunk enough to passes out, rub some tuna juice on him, and call it good.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Drag
it to their friends later. I got some last night.
Wow.
Frank thinks that he writes for Cosmo, I guess.
I guess so. On that note, tuna fish and porn.
This has been Matt.
Frank.
This has been Mark. Until next time, remember, duck and run.
Duck and run.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse. Snooch to the news. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.